We'll be led in opening prayer by our brother Walter Jurek.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, once again we come before our throne of grace to, by thy own appointed way, to thank thee for the many blessings that we have received from thy hand. We thank thee for this day and for the many blessings from thy word. And we do pray now, Father, that thy spirit may be with each and every one of us here, and especially with those to guide and direct their thoughts for this hour, that we may be refreshed and rebuilt, looking unto thee for all the blessings. We do pray that thou would also be with thy children wherever they may be, especially those undergoing trials and experiences, that thy word may be a comfort and a strength to them. For we do leave all these in thy hand, for we ask it through Jesus' name. Amen.
It's our privilege this afternoon to hear a couple of our deacon brethren, and that is of Brother Walter Doctor and Brother John Gadelis. And they have chosen as their subjects watch and pray. So we will first hear from our Brother Walter Doctor on watch. Brother Walter.
Thank you, Brother Dan. As Brother Dan mentioned, watch and pray is our subject matter, and we're first going to consider the portion of watchfulness, watching and praying. We read in Luke 21:36 the following text: "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." And inasmuch as the scriptures abound with similar exhortations to the Lord's followers, to stand before to the Lord's followers, that is to watch, to keep vigil, to be expectant, to observe and to wait, and especially to be on the alert regarding the message our Lord wants to reveal to us in his prophetic words and statements that are recorded in the scriptures and needful for our salvation. We read in Mark 13 from the 33rd to the 37th verse that we are to take heed to watch for the Master, lest he in coming finds us sleeping. In Matthew 26:41, we find a familiar exhortation: watch and pray. This was spoken by our Lord to his disciples over 19 centuries ago. All these words have been an admonition and a counsel directed to his footstep followers, even to this present day. They raise questions as to what are we watching and looking for, and how are we to watch? For it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that our Master spoke these words. It was at a time when our Lord was nearing the end of his earthly pilgrimage and ministry. For earlier that same evening, he and his disciples partook in the observance of the typical Passover that they, as Jews under the law, were required to observe. It was then that our Lord also instituted a new thing, a symbolic supper, a memorial of the antitype for his followers to observe, that being the beginning of the fulfillment of the antitype, antitypical Passover. For our Lord, as the antitypical lamb, was about to be slain for the sins of the world. He was heavy of heart, not only because of his betrayal, but because of his concern for his disciples, as to whether they would be strong enough in their faith to continue the ministry of the gospel that he proclaimed, to be able to carry on after his crucifixion and death. He was also concerned about the scattering of his sheep and their spiritual welfare. And it was shortly after leaving the Mount of Olives that our Lord took with him his three closest and dearest disciples, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. They had entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, there to find solitude and to comfort and assist him, and to maintain a vigil of watching and praying with him during his final hours. We'll open up our Bibles to Matthew 26, 36 to 41, where this is recorded. And we read, starting from verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus stated these words, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation," to his disciples in that garden of Gethsemane. But they could not think of any temptation that they could enter into in that peaceful and tranquil spot. And this is a lesson for us, for we cannot be too complacent, for when we feel unthreatened and too secure, we are the most vulnerable. Yet, we realize that this exhortation by the Master was especially needful for the disciples at that time. For with such peculiar or distinctive trials and testings set before them, if they had been watching and praying to God for wisdom, grace, and strength, lest they should fall in their temptations, that is, enter into them, they would have received God's help to resist them. And although they would have fallen in temptation, yet they would not have succumbed to it. Our temptations may also be presented to us many times a day. And when they come, we may be deceived and misled if we're not on our guard. Yet, if we resist the temptation, that resistance will make us stronger thereby, making it easier to resist it the next time. This admonition to watch and pray is especially applicable to all of God's people throughout the gospel age. For now is the time for the church to be especially alert, to be on watch against the wiles of the world, the flesh, and the adversary, or the devil, to fortify ourselves with a clear understanding of God's plan, with a determination to resist those fleshly inclinations which constantly beset us. For to rationalize and minimize the danger to our spiritual welfare by overlooking slight justifiable to us infractions, that is to say, deviations from the rigid and prescribed course as footstep followers of our Lord, is to fall into the danger of missing the mark and spotting our robes. And we must learn that we cannot lean on our own strength and understanding, but as Hebrews 4:16 states, let us come boldly, that is with confidence, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, through the worthy name of Jesus. And by carefully watching the signs of the times, delineated by our Lord in his prophecies of the events of the gospel age, such as are outlined in volume 2, chapter 5, and in volume 4, chapter 12, we'll have the assurance of the sure word of prophecy to guide us. And which is stated by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21. And we will achieve the goal of being in readiness to welcome our Lord's scrutiny of our hearts and conduct. As being able and active co-laborers with our Lord, having a strong zeal to serve him in righteousness and truth, and by fixing our thoughts on higher things. And then this earnestness of the Spirit will help us grow in grace and knowledge. For this opportunity is a special one and will not be repeated. It is also necessary for us to always be mindful of the admonition given to the apostles in Matthew 26:41. This, watch and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. That is, by yielding to it, for the tendency of the world and the adversary is to absorb our time, our interests, and our affections in worldly affairs, such as business, pleasure, and so forth, and thereby diverting us from our goal. And we can only accomplish this by watching and praying and striving through a study of the truths available to us, and to make an earnest effort to develop a sufficient understanding of God's plan and his will for us. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a scripture that we can consider in this matter, and this will help us to assist us in overcoming our Adamic weaknesses and imperfections. And that to the degree that we will have a greater measure of the Lord's Spirit in our hearts, and with his grace to help, we can be overcomers. The fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians outlines for us in capsule form many of our objectives to heed and watch and to diligently endeavor to follow. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, we are told to watch and stand fast in the faith, inasmuch as our foes are wily and deceptive, and will attack all our weaknesses and shortcomings. Therefore, we have to be watchful that the measure of Spirit of Christ in us is not displaced by the spirit of the world which completely surrounds us. That with its allurements and temptations, and that to a point wherein we are hopelessly entangled with the cares of this life, and the end result being not having enough time to develop the fruits of the Spirit, so beautifully outlined for us in 2 Peter 1, 2nd to the 10th verse. We have to further watch. We have to further watch that in meekness of spirit we develop a desire to learn God's ways, putting down our own strong self will, and by setting a diligent watch over our Christian character, that we may be steadfast in our faith, not blown about by every wind of doctrine, but standing our ground, supported by a clear understanding of our eternal goal, and having faith in the promises, we will be able then to stand up to the besetments of this evil day. And when we consider the aforementioned questions, for what are the Lord's people watching, and how are they to watch, we find that each age or dispensation had its faithful watchmen, discerning and proclaiming the truth or message due at that time. The Lord's intended message became manifest to the faithful few seeking after it. Prior to the time of Jesus, some of his faithful watchers were Moses and the prophets. But God used many individuals to point to the truth necessary in any given increment of time or due season. Men like John Wycliffe, Martin Luther, and William Miller are some examples. Miller, who also was awaiting the Lord's return, had a following in excess of 50,000. And yet, the Lord permitted him to err in his chronology, which pointed to 1843, as the time of the Lord's second presence. In Matthew 24, from the 45th to the 47th verse, and in Luke 12, from the 37th to the 44th, we have been provided with guidelines as how to determine the true and faithful watchman. Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 stipulate some of the provisions of the gospel work, such as the appointment of stewards or servants to the household of faith. One such servant found watching was Pastor Russell, who in heeding and watching discerned which general truths pertaining to God's plan of the ages should be dispensed to the household of faith, thus giving us the necessary meat portions of truth due at this end of the age. He forewarned that we are living in the end of the gospel age, about the world conditions to be ushered in through the time of trouble. He pointed to the prophecy in the 12th chapter of Daniel of the perplexity and distress of nations, and that that time Michael shall stand up, that this troublesome period would see a federation of churches, a tacit union of Protestants and Catholics, which is implied but not stated outright. Also, the return of the Jews to their own land. And he gave us the studies in the scriptures as a key to a better enlightenment of the Lord's plan and for our comprehension of the harvest message. Through his writings, we are given many insights. For example, the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians 2:3 relating to the man of sin preceding the Lord's day. In volume 2, pages 358 to 361, entitled Antichrist's Final End, gives us a concise review of that case in point. That is regarding the signs of times we are to watch for. And since our time is consecrated to the Lord, it is important that we render our all to him to the best of our ability. For if we have consecrated our time to him, it is also incumbent upon us that we use it properly, that we may live our lives in keeping with our consecration vows. This we can accomplish by exercising self-control over our weaknesses to the extent we are able. In 2 Timothy 3:17, we are given some admonitions to watch. The word of the Lord, that we may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Romans 12:11 tells us to be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, that is to have an ardent and burning desire to serve him. And in Romans 12:12 concludes, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. We have to watch against acquiescing to the world and its enticements, and to the adversary and his delusions. We admit we may have been overly redundant with the use of the word watch, but inasmuch as the scriptures place so much emphasis on our need to watch and heed, we have considered a few of the scriptures needful and pertaining to our spiritual growth. There are many that we have not considered, but we felt due to lack of time, such as Nehemiah 39:1, Psalms 141:3, and they refer to the bridling of the tongue and setting a watch on the mouth, which are important factors also to consider in our walk, because we not only should consider the signs of the times, but the circumstances under which we live our daily lives. And above all, we are to be reminded that watching and praying are inseparable. As you cannot have watching without praying, and conversely, praying without watching. As one cannot be neglected for the other. Therefore, in the next portion of the discourse, Brother John will consider the subject of prayer. We noticed in reading this morning's manna text, an admonition and counsel from Hebrews 5:14, that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, and even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How can we discern good and evil without being watchful? And the point that I want to emphasize that was in the comments is we ought to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we cannot achieve that without watching, discerning, and doing it in a prayerful manner. For our closing scripture, we've selected Proverbs 4:23. And this states, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." There are many scriptures that allude to watchfulness and prayer that we haven't brought up. We felt that we would have insufficient time, but I find out that some of the pages I have eliminated would have been very helpful. I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Brother Walter. For indeed to be watchful, so that therefore we can be forearmed and forewarned.